I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and we'll begin reading in just a moment with Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. I pray that the message will be the heart-searching message I've asked God to make it. I don't know if that depends on the preacher. I hope he does his best. Or the listener, to allow the Lord to speak to your heart, to hear with your spirit and let God's will be done. I know the best way to accomplish that task as a hearer is to already have said yes to the Lord in all things. And everything God reveals to you, you want to act upon in obedience. May I say, in childlike obedience. So many opportunities we have to hear and respond to the Word of God. And so many times we come short of the full potential of what God wants us to have in these moments. Look at the last verse in the 5th chapter. And I just want you to have the opportunity to think upon it. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. We're dealing with reaching your full potential. I don't think any sensible Christian would say, I don't want to reach my full potential. But I want you to realize that God has more of desire for you to reach your full potential, than you would ever have to reach your full potential. When Evelyn and I have conversations about such a thing, I want her to be convinced, and I'm sure she wants me to be convinced, that I truly want to be a good Christian. And it ought to be enough to say, be a Christian. When we come to the 6th chapter in the 1st verse, the Bible says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Again, look at verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, in the fourth verse, I'd like for you to mark the word secret. In the sixth verse, I would like for you to mark the word secret. In the 18th verse, I would like for you to mark the word secret. And by God's grace, I want to speak to you for a little while on our secret life. We all have a public life, and we all have a secret life. We're talking about our secret life. My wife and I have been married 56 years. I could tell you her story almost as well as she could tell you her story. I know where she was born. I know that she was born in a house, not a hospital. That's a little unusual. I know where the house was located. I know how old she was when she started going to elementary school and where she went to school. I know many of the details of her childhood because I have that interest in her childhood. I know when she was 5 years old, her father was killed in an automobile accident. That changed everything dynamically in her life. I know that she and her mother and brother went to live with her father's father, her granddaddy. I know well the house where she lived and the room where she slept, she and her mother. I know where she went to school while she lived there. I know where she went to school later and then on to high school when I met her. I know what she looked like when she was 13 because that's when I met her. I know the first time she and I ever met for what some people would call a date. It wasn't a date. I happened to be at her house and it started snowing and we walked through the snow out through an orchard behind her house. And I've always loved when it started snowing ever since then. What I'm saying to you is I could write a story of her life. I know a lot about her. And she, incidentally, knows a lot about me. But I do not know her secret life. Only God knows her secret life. She knows a lot about me. I hope there's not anything hidden that she would ever be ashamed of. I've tried to live an open life before the Lord, and I feel certain she has done the same thing. But she truly does not know my secret life. But God knows her secret life, and he knows my secret life. He knows the thoughts I have. God's word says that. If you hold your place here just for a moment and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, I'd like to read to you from Hebrews chapter 4, and I want you to think seriously about this verse. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the word of God says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." Now I want to stop there, which is a little unusual for me, but I want to pause there at that comma and say, when God created us, he made us spirit, soul, and body. We don't read about separating what the Bible says is separated here. A dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible says God's word divides us and reveals our lives, the secret part of our life. When David prayed that God would cleanse him, He wanted to be cleansed of secret sin. He wanted everything that was not right with God taken care of. He yielded himself as a sacrifice to the Lord. And the language he used in the 51st Psalm was, "Cleanse me, search me, look me over," as you would take a sacrifice being given to the Lord. Don't let anything pass that is not right. Everything in my life, make clean. Search it out. And he truly believed God and God alone could do that. And that's what we're talking about when we are talking about your secret life. And my secret life. If we're going to have all God wants us to have, we've got to be right with God in our secret life. And it's a matter left to you and the Holy Spirit of God as God searches you. And you come truly clean before God in your secret life. We're having special meetings. We've been praying a lot about those special meetings. And I want you to know that I want God to pour out his richest blessings on our lives, on our church. And that will not happen unless we come truly clean with the Lord in our secret life. Turn again with me, please, would you, to the book of Psalms. And I want you to follow along as I read a portion of the 139th Psalm, Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou hast knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is nigh, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts of me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody man. For they speak against thee wickedly. And thine enemies shall take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved when thou that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Not only did the psalmist write these words, with all his soul he believed these words. I'm talking about our secret life. There is nothing about you that's ever been hidden from God? Nothing. There's nothing about me that's ever been hidden from God. At this moment, every detail of your life is an open book with God. And the truth is, it is the same God who knows everything about you, who wants to bless you and guide you and give the richest treasures in His hands to you in your heart. That's why He sees us. I want you to write that down. God sees our secret life just as clearly as we could see the sun shining in the sky. Every detail of our lives is seen of God. Every habit, every thought, seen of God. One of the most staggering things we realize when we read and study the Bible is that God sees us. He sees our secret life, and yet He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. He even says He loves us with everlasting love. There's never been a time He doesn't love us. There's never a time that He stops loving us. Very few people could even imagine that everything about their lives, their thought life, every lustful thought, everything about them is seen by someone, and yet that someone loves them. God sees it all, and He loves us. If we're back to the sixth chapter of Matthew, the Word of God says in verse 4, that alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret Himself shall reward thee openly. It staggers my mind to think that God sees my secret life, and yet He wants to bless me. In verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. None of us could say that. If there was any idea we could see the secret life, the secret thought, yet we would have a longing heart with the greatest intense desire to bless that person. Yet God says that of us. In the 18th verse, He says, thou mayest appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So, not only do we have a secret life, God sees our secret life. I want you to let that thought rest upon you. And not only does He see us, but He sees us and wants to bless us and reward us. So God sees our secret life. Once you realize that you're consumed by the Lord's love, that you are bathed, caught up in His love, that you're the object of His love, and not only does He love you, He sees everything about your secret life, and yet He loves you. He sees our secret life. He searches our secret life. Do you know there are things that are known to God that are not known to us? When the Lord encourages us to confess our secret sins, those are sins we are unaware of. They're things that we have lived with so long and rationalized them away and gotten to the point where we don't even consider that sinful. But God searches us. There is a divine x-ray of our lives that reveals everything to God, and God searches it out. Many times you hear of people who've gone to the doctor and a specialist, and they are being searched internally for the doctor to find something that may be harmful or may be life-threatening. And the idea is that the doctor is interested enough to find what truly is wrong with you. Because if there's any blemish of any kind, anything wrong, the most minute thing that might grow into something that could take your life, he searches till he finds it. Well, God does a greater searching than that. You say, I don't like some things about my husband. God not only sees them, those things you have in mind, he loves your husband with an everlasting love. You say, there's some things I don't really like about my wife. And if I could, I'd change them. Sometimes people come to me and they say, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And they begin to spill their, excuse me, guts about what's distasteful, unlikable about their mate, thinking if I hear it all, I'll justify some action they want to take. And most often I just say to them, well, I don't like that either. I couldn't live with that either. But God not only sees that, it's like rebellion to him, but he loves that person with an everlasting love. As he searches us, he searches. Then I want to give you a third thing. Not only does God see our secret life, not only does God search our secret life, the Bible says God rewards our secret life. I often think when people have negative things to say about me, and I hear about them sometimes, I think if everybody knew me like God knows me, they'd have stronger feelings than they presently have. But God does know. And somehow, he blesses me. This is the glory and wonder of coming to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, having been washed in his blood, receiving his imputed righteousness on your account. And God has this miraculous way of seeing you and seeing your life as he sees his own dear son. Jesus Christ has met every approval of God the Father. No doubt about that. And when you have come to know the Lord as your Savior, he's imparted his righteousness to your account. And he sees you that way through his own dear son. And he rewards you. Paul was captured by this in the book of Ephesians. He wrote from prison and he said, it's the Lord who forgives us and cleanses us and aids us for Christ's sake. Not for you, not for your sake. But he sees you and loves you for Christ's sake. That's miraculous. I find many times there's no worth in me. That is, in my flesh, there's no good thing. But yet he loves me. I want you to stop being so down on yourself always. Because God sees you, if you've been born again, as one of his own dear children. Amen. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And he looks directly at your secret life. And the conclusion I come to in this is a very simple one. I want so desperately to have God's full blessing on my life and what God's given me to do. I want to please him. He hadn't saved me and blessed me because I'm worthy of it. He saved me and blessed me because Jesus Christ is worthy of it.
Amen.
So we start criticizing people and things and get so down on people, we forget this one great thing, what God has done in them and through them. He approves and he blesses. He sees it. Even though it's in our secret life, he sees it. He sees it. And I want to be blessed. Don't you want to be blessed? I want our ministry to be blessed. I want our church to be blessed. That is, in me there is no good thing, so how can God bless me? He doesn't bless me for the good things he sees. He blesses me for the Christ he sees. And we need to learn that. What does it do to you to think about God beholding your secret life, seeing your secret life, searching your secret life, and seeing what he can reward in your secret life? What does that do for you? I'm going to tell you what it ought to do. It ought to make you love him. It ought to make you praise him and give him glory. Just what you know about yourself, you couldn't do all those good things for yourself. But God knows you far better than you know yourself. Yet he blesses us. He blesses us. And we give him glory for that. God looks at your secret life.